You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from student pastor Josh Barnett.
I was preaching, we're doing a Romans series study on Wednesdays, and I was preaching, and I was in Romans 5, and I was giving kind of the fruit of being sanctified, the fruit of being saved, the benefits of being saved, and I gave 5 points. And one of the points was kind of the most important one, and I said, like, if we'll get this one, then we'll get the rest of them, is kind of how I worded it, and I played it out for about 5 minutes, and then after it was over, Melissa Glenn came up to me, and she was like, you could have just talked about that point the whole time, and like, it would have been awesome, we would have been good, and I was like, yeah, that's a good idea, so we're going to do that this morning. We're going to talk about this one point. Also, Paul, I don't know if I'm supposed to announce this or not, but we're doing panel Sunday next Sunday, and Melissa Glenn is on the panel, which I'm really excited about. She could just sit up there and talk the whole time. And Tori, our children's pastor, Tori. So we're going to have a couple of the ladies up here talking to us. So really excited about. So don't miss next Sunday. It's going to be really, really awesome. So so the point that I made, though, in the Romans series in chapter 5 was simply this, or I guess the Apostle Paul made, not really me, but it was simply this: by putting our faith in what Jesus did for us through his life, death, and resurrection, we now have access to God. Come on. Just like, amen right there. Like, we'd just be done. I'm just so excited about that point. But I really do want to play it out a little bit, because I think sometimes, like, we are like, yeah, like, I know that. Like, I know I have access to God. But I think sometimes there's like a rush, like, into his presence, or a rush. You know, I know we can come boldly before the throne, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today, but I think sometimes we don't realize who we're talking to or who we have access to. That this God that we have access to is the creator of the universe. He created everything. Like, he's the omnipotent, omniscient, what's the other one, Paul? Omnipresent, all those things. He's all of it. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's whatever. He's all of that. He's incredible. When he said, "Let there be light," not like a little light. You're talking about like trillions of stars and galaxies just burst forth onto the scene by those four words, "Let there be light." That's all he said. And it just burst. Like, that is the God that we have access to right now, any time of the day, 24/7, 365, 366 if it's a leap year, all the time. We have access to that God who created everything. And then, like, you look at, like, that huge, big picture, like, right, we're like, we seem kind of small on this big rock, and this big rock is kind of small compared to, like, the sun, and the sun is kind of small compared to the Milky Way, and the Milky Way is kind of small compared to the universe. It's huge. It's unbelievably huge. It's crazy. We can't get past our moon. It's so big. And then you go the other way and, like, look at, like, the atoms and the molecules and every little fine detail that he created life with. And you look at, man, look at the oceans and all the life that is in the oceans. Like, we don't even know what all the kind of fish that are in there. Like, there's some weird stuff in the ocean. Like, don't we know more about the moon than we know about, like, the bottom of the sea? Like, that's crazy. On our own planet, like, there's millions of creatures on this planet. Wow. That's the God that we have access to that created all of those things. And then listen, he formed you and I. Like, he spoke all of those things into existence. Crazy, powerful, amazing. And then he got down in the dirt and he made you and me. We're the only thing that it says that God formed. He formed Adam in the dirt. He knit us together in our mother's wombs. He's the one. He breathed life into us. We're the only thing on the earth, in the universe, made in the image and likeness of God. Woo! That's the God that we have access to. That's incredible. And then, you know, you start going through the Bible and you're like, you have access to the God that split the Red Sea open. And like, I've never been to the Red Sea, but I imagine, like, looking on a map, like, it's large. It's not like a little body. It's not like Washita, right? It's the Red Sea that he split to where they walked across on dry ground. Like, this is the God that tore the walls of Jericho down. Really huge, massive walls that God tore down. This, like, and then he did, like, really cool, like, crazy stuff, right? Like, I love the story where it says that Elijah outran the chariot. Wow. That's cool. And then Samson picked up a jawbone of a donkey and defeated like 1,000 warriors at one time. Like that's the God that we serve. The one that sent down fire from heaven and consumed the altar that Elijah made. That's the God that we serve. And he's still in the business of doing amazing things. He never stopped doing amazing things. Like he sent his son Jesus. He healed every sickness, every disease, every infirmity. Everything that he came across, he healed. Demons ran away from him. Satan was terrified of him. He came. He did all those things. He died on the cross. And then he rose again from the dead 3 days later. Ooh, come on. That's the God that we have access to. And man, if you ever read about the throne room in the Bible, like Isaiah 6, Ezekiel 1-ish, 1 through 2, 3, 4, and then Revelation chapter 4, 5, the throne room of God, that'll trip you out. Go right? Like they don't even know how to put language to what they're seeing. There's like lightning bolts and rainbows and gems and gold and like the six-winged creatures covered in eyeballs. That's strange. Never seen one of those before. And all they're doing is circling the throne going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of heaven's armies. That's all they're singing over and over and over again. It's like every time they see him, they're like, whoa, he's holy. And then you've got the 24 elders who are throwing down their crowns. And then I guess while they're kneeling down, they forget what he looks like. And so they put their crowns back on and they look back up. They're like, oh my gosh, like I'm not worthy. And they throw their crown down again. Like that's happening in the throne room right now, has been for the last like however long we've been here. Like it's been going on. We have access to that throne room where we can boldly step into places where angels are afraid of. Woo. We have access to that God. And he never closes up shop. Like, you know, like you wake up at like 2 a.m. and like, you're like, man, like, I don't really want to bother him. Like, no, like he's open. He's available. 24/7, he's ready for you to come on in. Man, so good. How do we have access? Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22. And we are now brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. Don't ever take for granted the blood of Jesus. I think it's like, yeah, we know that. No, like we don't know that. Like it's the blood of Jesus. There is not one more thing more beautiful, more precious, and more powerful in the entire universe. The blood of Jesus is what gets us a seat at the table where the Father now calls me son. Where John 17, where it says that the Father loves me like he loves Jesus. Let's just have the worship team come on back. Man. And he welcomes, verse 19 continued, he welcomes us, come right in the holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm boldly and with no hesitation. For he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to God. Man, that word fresh keeps coming up this morning. Maybe somebody's relationship is stale this morning. It's not meant to be a stale relationship. It's meant to be fresh. His mercies are new for you every morning. And listen, that doesn't mean like, well, I sinned yesterday, so thank God for his mercy today. No, his mercy is his kindness. Mercy means undeserved kindness. His kindness for you is new every morning. Doesn't mean that it's like it's a new degree of his kindness. It means there's more kindness for you each morning you wake up. It means that he can't wait to show you kindness every day that you get out of bed. It's a fresh relationship. It's not supposed to grow stale. Me and Sarah, in 2 weeks, we'll have been married for 10 years. Brennan and Claire, in a week, they'll be married for 10 years. My marriage now is better than it was when we first got married. I'm not patting myself on the back. Like, oh, whoop-de-doo. No, it's because I pursued her. And we're in a love relationship every single day. And it's always fun. It's always fresh. I can't walk by in the kitchen without pinching her butt. Probably not supposed to say that. There's kids in here. But it's okay. Like, our relationship is amazing. We flirt all the time. It's incredible. Like, we didn't stop flirting. We went on a date last night, and it was awesome. It was incredible. But, like, listen, married couples, if you will view every day like it's a date, you'll never have to work on your marriage. I'll move on. That's verse 22. That landed like a lead balloon. Verse 22. But I know what people think. They think, well, just wait for 20 years. No, like, don't put that on me. That's on you because you didn't pursue your wife. I'm sorry. I don't know if it felt good to say. I'm sorry. Okay, verse 22. We come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced by faith that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with the blood to remove impurity, and we have been freed from an accusing conscience, and we are now clean, unstained, presentable to God inside and out. Because of the blood of Jesus, we have fresh access to the throne room every day. We have access to the Father. We are now sons and daughters. Ephesians 2:13 says, we were once far off, but we have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Verse 18 says, through Jesus, we now have access by one Spirit to the Father. So we are not strangers or foreigners, but members of his very household. Because of the blood of Jesus, I am now a temple of God. The Holy Spirit now lives on the inside of me. And we'll get to this in our Romans series, but Romans 8 says, because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me, is through, I have a relationship to the Father through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So when I come into the presence of God, he sees me as he sees Jesus, washed in the blood. I have the righteousness of God in Christ. Okay? But the Holy Spirit is the thing inside of me. It says, Romans 8 says, it testifies to my spirit that I am a child of God. And my spirit and the Holy Spirit cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is an endearing term. It's like saying, Daddy, God. I know when I say kind of stuff like that, like especially the men, they're like, oh, that's kind of weird. We come to him like a child. There's no age limit on that. We always come to him like a child. He is Daddy. He is Abba. He is our Father. And there's a longing, I don't care how big and bad and tough you think you are, there's a longing inside of every person's heart that wants a daddy. That wants somebody's lap they can crawl up into. And that's not weird. It's amazing. It's incredible. He's such a good father. It's hard sometimes because I think when some of us, we hear father, like we put our own dad's face on God. And my dad was like a real disciplinary, so like it was hard for me to like get my dad's face off of God. But like, don't put your father's face on God. He's a good father. And even if you have a good dad, like there's many men in this room who represent the heart of a father. Like, I don't know if you've been around Gary Candlebinder, but that dude's got the heart of a father. He's the man. He's incredible. But there's men who represent the heart of the Father, but don't put a man's face on God because he is so much better of a dad than we can be to our own kids. He's so much better. He's so incredible. He's the perfect heavenly Father of lights that rains down good gifts for his children. He's so much kinder. And he's, this is what's great. Because like, I really try to be a good dad to my kids, but my availability to them is limited. Because, unless it's an emergency, obviously, but I have to go to work, right? I've got to be gone for at least 8, 9, 10 hours a day going to work. You know the amazing thing about our Father? He's always available. He's never in a meeting. He's never on the phone with somebody else. He's always there for you. Do you know what God's work is? You. Ephesians 2:10, we are his masterpiece. We are his workmanship. He is faithful to complete every work that he has started in me. So where is God's attention and affection throughout the day? Me. You. He delights in us. It's good. Like, we have to know that he delights in us. That he loves for us to come into the throne room. I'm thinking about Esther right now. When Esther came into the throne room, King Xerxes was delighted to see her. He extended his scepter towards her because he wanted her to come in. And God is so delighted in you and I that he can't help but extend his scepter to us when we come in. You don't believe me? Then go read Luke 15. Because that's what the Father always does. He always runs with open arms. And he doesn't come and talk to you about how mad and how frustrated and how he's mad. You got to be more consistent and you got to do this and you got to do this. And I want you to sit over there and I want you to think about what you've done. The throne room is always a party. There's always a robe. There's always a ring. He's good. He's better than we think. Zephaniah 3:17 says that he delights in us and that he sings songs of salvation over us. God sings over you. That's wild. He's a wild man. God's not tamed. Like, I don't know if you know. Like, we get tame and we get religious and we get whatever. God's wild. He's a crazy man. He's up there dancing and singing about you. And I know, like, the religion in me goes like, that feels weird. I mean, the first, like, 10 minutes of me describing God, like, none of that seemed weird to you? Like, it's odd, right? It doesn't seem normal. He's not normal. Or maybe we're not normal. We think we're normal, but he's actually normal. Man. It's important to know we have unlimited, amazing access to God, but there's also an invitation. And I think we have to know what that invitation is. So in John chapter 7, there's a great feast. And on the last day of the great feast, Jesus stands up to everybody and starts screaming, which this was, again, weird. Starts screaming, come to me. Come to me, all who are thirsty, and I will give you something to drink. Come to me, and I will give you rivers of living water. Come to me. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come to me. James 4:8. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. The invitation is come in. Come in, and then it's important, like, it's important for us to know that he wants us to come in. And not like a wanting us to come in, like, let me check my schedule. Like, looks like we can have lunch on Friday. No, it's all the time, this invitation, the door's open, he's waiting. Now, he's not, I think sometimes we think, like, well, he's just like insecure Jesus. Like, man, I hope they pick up today. Like, I hope they come and talk to me today. He's not like that. He's a king. But you got to know that he delights when you walk into his presence. It's a continual drawing near. It's a continual coming into his presence. I love church. I love church services, but Jesus didn't die on the cross so that you could come in and spend a little bit of time with him 2 days a week, or so that you could sit 40 rows back and listen to a guy talk about him. I didn't marry my wife to see her once a week just to come in and listen to somebody else tell me about her. But sometimes we treat God that way. Like, we come in and listen to somebody else talk about him. You were not meant to sit 30 rows away and be a fan of the guy who's seen Jesus. You were meant to see Jesus. We were all meant to come into his presence and see him face to face. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for presence actually means face to face. God longs to be face to face with us. And the invitation is to come and stay. Come and stay with me. Turn to John 15. John 15. You got your Bibles or your phones? I guess it's turn to John 15 or click on John 15, whatever. Or click. I don't know what it is. It's not a mouse. Touch it. I don't know. John 15. Verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I am him, bears much fruit. For without For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So the invitation is to abide. The invitation is to remain, is what a lot of translations say, to come in and stay with him. There's got to be a shift where we go from following to abiding. Jesus told his disciples, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow, follow me. And then one day he turns around and he looks at him and he says, now abide in me. Abide in me. What's that mean? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It seems kind of strange. But Colossians 3 says that we are to be hidden in Christ. We should be enveloped in Jesus. We should be enveloped in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We should be abiding with him all the time. There's got to be a place where we begin to switch and we always have an awareness of the Lord, always knowing that he's with us in everything that we do. And so when I'm driving to work, I'm aware that he's with me and I have a relationship with him. And when I'm in a meeting, I'm aware that he's with me and I'm not just meeting with that person. Me and Jesus and that person are also meeting. Where two or more are gathered, I'm with them, right? When you marry your spouse, you're not supposed to do anything without your spouse in mind. I am the bride of Christ. I shouldn't be doing anything without him in mind. So the way that I treat people, the way that I conduct my business, the way that I live my life, the way that I raise my family, the way that I talk to people, the way that I do my hobbies, as I'm walking through Walmart, I'm aware that I am in Christ Jesus. That's abiding. That's living. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, that means we are constantly in communication with the Lord. All the time. It's not just I'm going to pray, you know, for 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there and whatever, and, you know, I'm going to do my little devo. No, it's like constantly I am pursuing Jesus. I am going after him. I am in constant communion with the Father. Well, that sounds weird. Well, welcome to Christianity. It's a little weird, but we're supposed to, there's this place where we step into intimacy with the Lord. And I know when I say intimacy with the Lord, a lot of times people are like, whoa, that's weird, man. I'm being intimate with God. That seems kind of strange. No, like, he who has ears, let him hear. It's a spiritual intimacy. It's not sexual in any way. It's an intimacy with him. It's a closeness of relationship that I have with him that I don't have with anybody else, that I'm unable to have with anybody else. I should be closer to the Lord than I am to my own wife. That's just the way that God calls it. That's the way he set it up, is he wants us to be that close and that intimate with him. Abiding in him, living with him, continually dwelling with him, developing a growing relationship with him. Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That word love is agape. That's the greatest kind of love. That's a self-sacrificing love. That is, I'm all in, unconditional kind of love. Sounds like intimacy. And that's the greatest and first commandment. It's an intimate love. Psalms 42, David is saying that, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs and thirsts for you, O God. He goes on later and says, the deep calls out to deep. And he's saying, David's saying, the deep things in me, the deepest places of me, are calling out to the deep places of you. We got to be done with shallow Christianity, where we're just Christians on Sunday morning. We come in here and we hoop and holler and we hope they play our favorite songs. And we hope the message motivates us, and we got to move into the deep things in me, God, call out to the deep things in you. And I don't even know what that means, but I know there's something inside of me that can only be fulfilled by the deepness in you. And this is the key to everything. Everything. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. No, you didn't. You got a goosebump at a camp or a conference, but you didn't go after Jesus. Because I can stand up here and testify that I have gone after him. And I have experienced freedom and joy and peace and righteousness that blows my mind. And I'm also at a revelation where there's so much more of that to be had. There's so much more. It's the key to everything. To everything. Everything. Well, that's too simple. Well, you haven't encountered the King Jesus that I've encountered then. You may have brushed by him, but you haven't grabbed a hold of his feet and said, I'm not leaving until you move, Jesus. Isaiah 22 and Revelation 3, 7 says that the keys of David will be given to a man, and every door he shuts, no one will be able to open, and every door he opens, no one will be able to shut. The keys of David, what does that mean? Who's it talking? It's talking about Jesus, but why does it say the keys of David? What is David known as? A man after God's own heart. David's name means the beloved one. They called Jesus the son of David. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus looks at his disciples and says, who do you say that the Son of Man is? And Peter steps up and says, you are Christ, you are the Son of the living God. Jesus looks back at him and says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail. I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Sounds like keys again. Sounds like doors. Jesus is the door. What's the key? Abide. Intimacy. Beloved. I made the connection. I don't know if you did. John 15, 7. We just read it, but it says that when you abide in him, you can have whatever you desire. You can ask for whatever you desire, and it shall be done. And it shall be done. If you abide in me, you can ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done. Psalms 37, 4, delight yourself in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. Maybe the key to getting our desires is delighting ourselves in him. Is moving into that relationship with him. It's getting close to him and having intimacy with him. It's abiding in him, and then we get what we ask for. Why? Because when we abide in him, his desires become my desires. And I'm not asking for things that are from weird motives or from ulterior things or from a weird twisted place, but I'm asking what God desires. And if I step into a place of intimacy, guess what I will desire? His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And perhaps the church is not seeing that happen because we have failed to abide. Perhaps we're not the ecclesia that Jesus told Peter they were about to be because we have failed to provide. Perhaps the government can call us non-essential because we have failed to abide. And the devil is terrified of a church that will realize that their number one calling is to abide. Their number one calling is to just simply be with Jesus. See, we've used in Jesus' name as a magical prepositional phrase. Like we're going to pray it in Jesus' name and it's going to happen. It's not a magical prepositional phrase that you tack on to the end of a prayer. In Jesus' name means your location. I am in Jesus' name. And his name is above every other name. And when I abide in him and I'm in him and I step into the room and I rebuke cancer in Jesus' name, that cancer goes, whoa, that's Jesus, I got to get out of here. When I'm in Jesus' name, I come in and I rebuke demons and they run away because they go, oh my gosh, that's Jesus, we got to run. 1 John, just as Jesus is now, so are we in this world. Maybe we aren't seeing things come to pass because we're not in him like we're supposed to be. Maybe we've been asking without abiding. Acts 17, 28, in him we live, move, and have our being. Listen, I want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. I want to see everybody that I lay hands on be healed and be sick. I want to see the coronavirus just be eradicated and all these numbers and everything to drop and for it to go down and all that jazz. I want the evil to be, like the masks to be ripped off of the evil that's going on in our, not literal masks, but like the masks to be I wasn't talking about coronavirus. I was talking about other things. Like, I'm not saying rip your mask off. Keep it on if you want to. That's totally fine. But I'm talking about, like, the mask to be ripped off of evil organizations and politicians that are doing things and that are not supposed to be doing, where they're bringing evil and corruption to the world. And I believe that we can step into those places. And I believe that we can be a church that sees signs, wonders, and miracles. But I want to give you the key to it. It's not chasing signs, wonders, and miracles. It's simply chasing Jesus. It's going after him in the secret place. And we always have access to him. I'll give you an example. My wife and my boys, they always have access to me. They can always come to me. And my boys, they're so funny. Whenever I mow the yard, they like to follow me while I mow the yard. Like, where I have just mowed, they like to walk on the clean patch. On the patch that's just been mowed. Man, that's just like our relationship with the Lord. If we will go after him, we will begin to see those things cut away. We will begin to see a pruning take place. We will begin to see a fire sweep across of our nation. And all we get to do, we just get to delight because we're with Dad. And he does it all. Some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. It's okay. See, most people... I'm closing. I know I'm getting long-winded here. Most people, they want access to the kingdom, but they're unwilling to pay the price for it. Because most people want the kingdom without the king. We want to see people healed, but we don't want to spend time with Jesus. We want to get words of knowledge, and we want to have prophetic words, and we want to say things, and we want to see things happen, and we want a certain president to be in office, and we want to see whatever, and whatever, and whatever, and whatever, but we won't spend time with Jesus. And so we get mad and frustrated, and we blame God when we don't see it. And God was just saying, I'm trying to co-labor with you. Just abide in me, and I will give you the authority. And I found the reason why is because most people don't want kingship in their life. People want the pastor to be the Christian for them. I want him to save my marriage, and I want him to save my kids. Listen, the pastor's job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. So go do the work of the ministry in your home, in your community, in your workplace. You do the work of the ministry. You shine bright for the Lord because your pastor's not there to do it for you. And I said this on Wednesday night, and I've probably already offended everybody, so we'll just step into this place again. You don't need access to me. You don't need access to Pastor Paul. You don't need access to Pastor Tim. You have access to God. But you'll be surprised at how many people get offended and mad and leave our church because me and Paul and Tim didn't say hi to him on a Sunday morning. You didn't say hi to me either. Does that mean I get to leave? Right? Like, you... People get mad at us because we don't talk to them or we can't have a meeting with them every single week or whatever, and so they leave. And people get mad at me because I didn't fix their teenager in youth group. They came one time. I don't tell you. It's not me that you need access to. It's the Father. It's God that you need access to. And listen, like, I've got four kids. They're 7 years old all the way down to 4 months old. And so, like, when I'm in a public place, like after church here, when like everybody leaves, like my eyes are down like this. Like, I have three boys, right? They're wild. And like the energy that a 5 and 7 year old boy have is unparalleled. Like, nothing comes close. If you could bottle that energy, you would be an instant billionaire. Like, I'm just telling you, like, they can't have any kind of caffeine or sugar because they will start flying. Like, they have so much energy. And so, like, I'm going, okay, where's Micah? Where's Judah? Where's Emma? Where's, okay, Ezra's in the car seat, so he can't move yet, which is awesome. Okay, so, and I'm looking, and I'm going, you know, and then people get mad at me because I won't stand and have an hour conversation with them at church. Now, I don't know what Paul and Tim's excuses are because their kids are grown. So, you know, be mad at them, but I got four excuses right here. So, again, I don't know if I should have said that, but it felt good to say. So, But Jesus is a way better option than me. And I agree, God, I can be a conduit for his power and his glory. Amen. I believe that for sure. But if every time you run into a struggle, run into a problem, you need me to lay hands on you and pray for you and meet with you for 2 hours, It's going to be hard for you. And you're going to get mad at me because I'm going to let you down. There's a better way. That's right, Paul. There is a better way. And we do this to our church too. Like, man, like, hope Brandon picks some songs that I like today. I hope Pastor Tim's got a word for me today because I need some strength. And if Brandon don't play that song that I like, do you know what Brandon's job is? To stand up here and sing and play guitar and worship Jesus. Because he's a better singer than everybody in this room, and he's a better guitar player and musician than everybody in this room. And you could say that he's a worship leader, but I will challenge this thought for you. It's not his job to lead you in worship. That is your job. You want to get something out of worship? Then come in here with Psalms 100 on your heart and say, I'm going to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. And I'm going to get into the presence of God on my own without having a cheerleader up here going, come on now, lift your hands. I'm probably going to get in trouble for this one too, but I'm just going to say it. We're just laying it all out here today. You don't need your small group. You need Jesus. Like, small groups become this weird, I'm not anti-small group, but they need to be done right. The other day, there were some couples. We went over to somebody's house. We hung out. We swam in the lake. We did these. We had a birthday party for a kid. Like, it was awesome. And the church didn't get together and go, all right, now you're going to hang out with this person, and you're going to hang out with this person, and you got to be friends with this person. Like, if you're a grown man and you can't ask another grown man to go hunting with you, like, I don't know what to say. Like, maybe you don't have friends because you're not friendly. That's what Proverbs says. That's what it says. If you want friends, then be friendly. Talk to somebody else. Don't sit on the back row. And I'm totally fine if you sit on the back row. But don't sit on the back row and leave before church is over and get mad because nobody was nice to me at that church. You be nice to somebody. And guess what? You make friends, and then guess what you have? A small group. God bless you. All right, I got to end. I got to end. I'm sorry. Okay. It seems simple, but I guess it's not. So we have this access to the Lord, this unlimited, unwavering, amazing access to the Lord. But I want to challenge you this morning is how much access does God have to you? How much access does he have to your heart? Like, I just want to feel God. I want to know that he's real. I want to know all these things. Okay, what is he asking for you to lay down? What part is it? Like, is it that relationship? Is it that money? Is it that job? Is it that whatever? Is it a secret sin? Is there something in your life that he needs access to? Like, if you want intimacy with the Lord, intimacy always requires vulnerability. If I want to be intimate with my wife, I've got to be vulnerable. If you want to be intimate with the Lord, you've got to be vulnerable. Like, we can't hide things from him. Like, he knows. He's God. And so we've got to be vulnerable, and we got to open up, and we got to show him those things and allow him to come and fill those places. When we do reveal those places to him, he's not going to be, oh my gosh, I can't believe you. Again? That's not his response. His response is, let me have it. And then here you get more of me. And it's incredible. He's patient and he's awesome and it's amazing. It's simple. And I'll end with this right here. And this is my fourth closing. Sorry. It's 11:58. I got 2 minutes. I would say this to you, if you have, like, man, Josh, like, you know, you're a wild man, and I would love to have that relationship with the Lord, but I've tried, and I just can't really get breakthrough, and, you know, I know I have access to God and all that, and, you know, I'm not, if you want more, and I'm in that place too, like, I always want more, but if you've been struggling for breakthrough, I want to challenge you with the story of Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. Me and Miss Deanne went to Sunday school. All right, the rest of you, I don't know where you were. But he was a tax collector that everybody hated, and he heard that Jesus was coming in town. And he was small. He was a wee little man. He was short. And so he couldn't see over the crowd to see Jesus. So do you know what Zacchaeus did? He ran ahead of the crowd so that he could see Jesus. Maybe if you're not seeing Jesus in your life, what you need to do is change your pace. Maybe you need to change your pace. Maybe there's too many people around you. Maybe you're too busy. Maybe something's going on. Maybe you need to slow down, step into your office, or show up to your work at 5:30 instead of at 7. Maybe you need to stay late. Maybe after all the kids go to bed, you need to get down on your knees at night, mama, and go after the face of Jesus and just declare the blood of Jesus over your kids. And I promise you, he'll come and he'll show up. God's got a special place in his heart for mamas. It's in the Bible. But maybe you need to change your pace. Or maybe you do need to run. Maybe you need to run as hard and as fast as you can towards him. Zacchaeus also changed his altitude. He climbed a tree so he could see Jesus. And because he changed his pace and he changed his altitude, he made eye contact with Jesus. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down from here. Come on, man, I'm coming to your house right now. And maybe if we'll go as hard and as fast as we can towards Jesus, we'll begin to see his face. We'll see him eye to eye. We'll see that man who has eyes like fire and hair like wool and feet like brass and a sword coming out of his mouth and his voice that sounds like many rushing waters. Like, that's the King Jesus that he wants to reveal himself. Like, he wants to reveal himself that way to us. John the Beloved, he wrote Revelation. It's not the revelation of the end of things. It's the revelation of Jesus. And it all goes to Jesus. It's all him. It's all about him. It's all about his blood. It's all about his voice. Our whole life, we're supposed to reflect his glory, but we can't reflect something that we don't see. We can't become like something that we don't behold. And we've got access to this great, amazing, wonderful King. We can't take it for granted. We've got to go in after him as hard and as fast as we can. Stand up for me. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Man, I had more in my notes, but we're out of time. There's a grace for freshness in here this morning. There's a grace for freshness this morning. And listen, don't ever try to fit God into your little schedule. Fit yourself into his schedule. And so, like, if you need to leave here and go home and cancel lunch plans and go be with the Lord, you can do that. You can, the pot roast can wait. The meal can wait. If you need to do business with Jesus, like, it doesn't have to just be here. It can be at your house. If you need to cancel plans with friends because you need to go, like, there's something that was said this morning or God did something in your heart in worship and you need to go chase after that, there's freedom to do that. There's permission to do that. Don't feel so locked in, like, A plus B always equals C. Like, no. Sometimes he wants to take you a weird way that doesn't make sense. And there's a grace for fresh, I just keep feeling that in my spirit, fresh fire, fresh water. There's people who are thirsty here this morning and they don't know, they've been praying, they've been coming to church, they've been seeking the word, but there's something deep inside and they need that water this morning. And so I want to pray for you. Let's lift our hands. Lord, I just pray that your just waterfalls of grace would fall in this place. Lord, I feel your spirit in this place. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I just declare freedom to fall in this place right now. In Jesus' name, I declare bodies be made whole in this room right now. From the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, health right now in Jesus' name. Come on, if you need healing or you're standing in the place of somebody who needs healing, I want you to lift both hands above your head as high as you can. I pray healing right now in Jesus' name. I pray healing over Cassie Bradshaw right now in Jesus' name. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, no more pain right now in Jesus' name. Healing, heaven, come and fill her room wherever she's at right now. I pray over Shara Benton right now in Jesus' name. Healing to come into that hospital room right now, Lord. Jesus' name, we rebuke cancer. We rebuke the attack of the enemy in Jesus' name. No more. You cannot have Shara. We claim her in the name of Jesus for the kingdom. This is going to be one of the greatest testimonies ever that this church has ever seen. It's going to be miraculous. She's been on death's doorstep, and she's coming all the way back to life and life more abundantly. And we declare that over her body right now in the name of Jesus. God, everybody that's interceding for someone right now, we're standing in the gap, and we're believing health for our families. Health over our families. Health over our children. I pray health over families right now in Jesus' name. We call prodigals to come home. Holy Spirit, go and convict hearts right now and draw your children back to you and draw your children back to parents right now in Jesus' name. No prodigals in this church anymore. No more. God, they're going to taste your goodness and they're going to follow you all the days of their life, God. They're going to follow you all the days of their life, God. Our children will be lovers of you. They will pursue you. They will be dreamers. They will have visions. Our children from one, two, three years old, all the way till 18, the whole time in their church, they're going to walk in signs and wonders and miracles. They're going to see great moves of God. They're going to have great visions of you, Lord. They're going to give prophetic words even to the older people in our church, the elderly in our church, the parents, the father figures in our church. We're going to learn from children. God, I ask that you just begin to stir that up in our children's ministry right now in Jesus' name. God, I lift up our Soaring Eagles to you right now in Jesus' name. God, all of our seniors, you know, 55, 60, 65 and older, I just lift them up to you right now in Jesus' name, and I declare health over their bodies. I declare health over their bodies. It says that Moses, when he died at 120 years old, he was strong as a young man. And I declare that over our Eagles right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. God, we rebuke this coronavirus in Jesus' name. We call it down right now in Jesus' name. We bind it on earth and it's going to be bound in heaven. Lord, we loose your supernatural healing on earth and loose it from heaven into earth right now, Lord. Let your kingdom sweep across this nation. Let heaven come and fill our nation. Lord, let a great revival begin to start in our nation. Let a third great awakening be happening right now, starting with the church, God, that we would come back to your heart, Jesus. That we would come back to the one thing that matters, Jesus. That we would come back and stare at you face to face. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's say it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.